My name is Pixie. This is hour two of Pixie's Shenanigans. Chewy from Myth Behind the Legends is recording live. If you do come up as a speaker, please be mindful of other people. Please keep your microphone on mute when not talking. This is an open discussion for everybody to be able to speak and be freely about it. Let's have fun with this. If you have a question about adding audio to your podcast, you know, or you want to know where you can get audio for your podcast, or, you know, you have your own podcast that's all about music. I have some fantastic people here in this audience that are, I'm trying to get them up to speak, cinematic sound. I think most podcasters are looking to figure out, they want to know why they, what they can do for music in their podcast, where they can go to get podcast music, kind of pitfalls and hurdles that they're having with music in their podcast.
Okay. First things first, it has to be 100% royalty-free music. It cannot be something you heard on the radio. It can't be the latest song from whoever. It's got to be royalty-free music. And even on that end, it still can be tricky. So one easy way to really check that is if, I think also, if you try to use like a Shazam app and try to play that music against it and see what comes up. If nothing comes up, you're probably fair game to use that music.
Plug your audio, your podcastic audio real quick. And
podcastic audio? What about it? Yeah. Want to plug it where I can find it? You can find it at anchor.fm/podcastic audio.
Cool. That way, in case you have to go, we have it and we can rearrange it, because Chewy's going to release this as a bonus feature.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so as far as music goes, they always, people like to claim, they say, what's the term? It's called, we fight it in court. It's the, Fair Use. Fair Use Act. Fair Use. All they, you know, but fair use is what you use when you're physically in court. And I don't know about you, but going to court isn't fun. And I've been to court, and it's not a fun place to be. So, and I know that if you're trying to, if the big music producers and big music label is suing you, trust me, they have more money than you do. So you'll probably lose, no matter what you try to say, fair use or not. So try to stay away from licensed music if you can in your podcast. There are algorithms already in place right now to flag that stuff and find it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for joining us. And that's what this discussion is all about. Most of us have music on their podcast. Chewy, let's talk to you. You are a creator of music and you own your own podcast.
Yeah, so like I was saying, I am a host of a podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we do primarily horror media. We talk about movies, stuff like that, but in the purpose of this conversation, what I do is I am primarily a musician. I'm not a podcaster per se. I became a podcaster due to all this stuff that was going on, or that's still going on. But I've been playing music for about 20 years, give or take. I play primarily guitar. I do know how to play bass and a little bit of keyboards here and there. But when it comes to the music in our podcast, well, what I do is I usually create the music myself. Because of the things that people were talking about, I don't want to deal with courts, I don't want to deal with lawyers, I don't want to deal with any of that stuff that's not really fun. So I'm lucky that I'm, in the sense, able to make my own music as I see fit. If I feel like I need something creepy for a specific segment, I can create that. If I feel like I need something a little bit funny or something for whatever reason, I can create that. I usually add sound effects to my episodes also. So I do audio production, so I don't want to be like a shameless plug or anything, but if anybody needs help with that, I can definitely help. You can shoot me a DM later if you want to talk about that. But primarily I can basically create any music that I want. It's easier for me to do it that way because it already happened. Not to me, but somebody that I know got in trouble because they were trying to start a podcast and they used a song from the radio or something, and they're like, hey, no, you can't do that. They didn't get a letter or anything like that, but they got some sort of like notice on their email. So yeah, and when I heard about that, I was like, nah, I don't want to deal with that stuff. So I was like, no, thank you.
Chewy has helped me before. He made custom music for my second podcast that hasn't been released yet. He custom made me music, and I really appreciate the work that you've done. It sounds fantastic, and I have another project for you. I need more music. I've been talking with Tim and other podcasters about starting yet again another type of show, and I'm going to need some music. How would you suggest somebody who is thinking about starting another podcast, who sort of has an idea, how do you, as the creator of music, what kind of stuff do you need from a podcaster to make sure you understand what the clientele wants?
Well, primarily, the first thing that I would ask them is, what kind of sounds do you have in mind? And I generally ask for samples of songs. So it's like, if you go to a bake shop, for example, and you go in there and you're like, I want a cake. And that's all the direction you give the baker. It's like, well, do you want vanilla cake? Do you want German chocolate? Do you want carrot? No, I want a cake. So so the first thing that I would do is ask him, well, what kind of songs do you like? Do you like what kind of artists? What kind of bands? Specific songs? Or if not, then maybe point me to a soundtrack from a video game or something like that. I think in your case, that's what happened. Because we went back and forth a little bit, and it was like, no, not like this, but that's cool, but not so much that. And it's not until you guys gave me like an actual song example that I was, okay, I got it. So that's when I was able to create that specific theme for you. So that would be the first thing. And then, of course, the next thing would be the length. I mean, if it's like a little introduction, like 10, 15 second thing, or if they actually want the song, I mean, that also counts. I'm not a vocalist. I can't sing. I can sing a little bit, but not for the purposes of publishing a song. But when it comes to music, I mean, yeah, that's really all the direction that I need. Just people to provide an example of what they want. Because I have some sort of software that I can use, and I can try to find sounds similar to the examples that they give me. So if it's a rock song, I can add distorted guitars. If it's some sort of electronic song, I can use a keyboard and come up with all kinds of crazy keyboard sounds. So it all comes down to that, really. Just having concrete examples, like two or three different songs that they want to basically have a vibe off of. So once I have that, I mean, I'm good to go. And then as far as the creation process, just really quick, I mean, normally I start with a guitarist because that's my instrument, or with a drum beat. And then after that, it just all comes together. I wouldn't be able to explain how that happens. It just, because people ask me, like, how come you can write songs? And it's like, well, it just happens. I don't consider myself very gifted when it comes to music. I have to work at it really hard. And it takes a while. I mean, it takes maybe, if it's like a little intro theme song, like 20, 30 seconds or whatever, it's probably going to take me about 2-3 hours to have a rough finished product.
Thank you, Chewy. Thank you for being part of this conversation. I see the Sunday Night Army has joined us. Cinematic Universe, you guys, that's what you do. You talk about soundtrack music in your podcast. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm causing trouble.
Well, it wouldn't be a Twitter Spaces if you weren't causing trouble. I might be long-winded here, and I'm probably going to throw a wrench into this conversation. Because my show is not a traditional podcast per se. I produce essentially a traditional radio show on a podcast. So I play full tracks. And that's basically what I do. But I also comment on the tracks. I'm offering commentary, reviews, giving information for it. And so it's a little bit tricky with the use of fair use. And I had decided that it had been since 2003 that I'd been doing on-demand streams, that I should try to make what I'm doing somewhat legal. So I've tried to figure out how in the world could I get full-length tracks from any major film on my show and do it, you know, properly and check off all the, you know, and everything that I need to do in order to make sure everything works. So I first looked up a show called the Coverville Podcast. Now, this guy has been around since the beginning of podcasts, and what he does is he plays covers of songs, and he's been doing it since, I think, 2004. And so what he has done is he went to all of the major record labels and all of the copyright associations in the United States and said, hey, how much do I need to pay in order to play music on my podcast? Now, they didn't have a license for that, so they created a license expressly for him. And it came out to be about $500-$600 a year for him to play music on his podcast. Now, he has since grown the podcast into a business, so he's able to pay for that easily. And he has to do a lot of work. He has to make sure that he's writing down all the songs that he plays, and he lets these copyright associations know what he's been playing. But it can be done. He's documented this on the web. He's done interviews. And so that's what I did to form the basis of my arguments for grabbing the copyright, or at least the license, to play music on my show here in Canada. And so I contacted all the copyright associations here in Canada, and all of them but one didn't have a podcast license and didn't want to accept money from me. And I was shocked. I did this last year, and I thought this was going to be the end of my show. I thought I was going to have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get the rights to play these pieces. And the only organization was SOCAN. And I pay $125 a year to play music on my show. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not a lawyer. I don't know all of, you know, the legalese or whether what I'm doing is legal or illegal. I just know that I've covered my bases here in Canada. And on top of that, I have also, I have very good relationships with all the record labels with the music that I play. So I let them know, and I've let them know for 25 years what I do on my show, and they are okay with it. So every time I request music from them, they know that that music is going on my podcast. And so really it comes down to doing research, because a lot of people say, no, you can't play music. Well, again, it depends on what type of show that you're doing. There aren't a lot of shows that are doing what I do, but if you are, let's say, a music commentary program and you are using music to help sell your point, you can get away with it. That's fair use. And yes, you can't fight that in court. But here's the thing. The RIAA is not going to take you to court unless you're huge and you're making a ton of money and not paying for anything. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but from my experience, all they're going to do is send you a DMCA request, and you're going to have to get rid of that show. Just that episode. And I've had that happen once to my network in 25 years, and it was for a Bollywood show, and someone didn't like the music that I played on it, and I got an RIAA notification. I took the episode down, and that was it. So I know that was a long-winded answer. It was all over the place, and I'm sure everybody has questions, but I've managed to make my show somewhat legal and be able to play music. But again, if you are a music commentary program and you need to use examples to help sell your point, you can use that music and you can fight that in court. But again, I haven't really seen many examples of where a record label has taken an entire podcast to court and sued them for thousands and thousands of dollars. So, yeah, that's kind of what I have to say about that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you've got so much knowledge. I mean, 20 years in the industry. I mean, that's so crazy to think that we're trying as podcasters to sort of do what radio is doing and vice versa. I mean, it's really insightful to be able to talk to somebody like you. We're able to find out what goes on in Canada, because here I'm in the U.S. I mean, it's neat. I don't know how much else to say, but it's neat. Thank you for being part of this conversation. I see the Sunday Night Army is finally as a speaker. How's it going?
How's it going? What's up, Cinematic? Nice to see another cool Canadian podcast. That's cool. This music in podcasting is it's an interesting topic, and I'm so happy I actually made it for this one, because I'm on vacation and my show's taking a hit. I had the same problems with that, because first I looked at the intro outro for my shows, and I'm lucky enough to be an artist and make music, and I just had my producer whip up some beats, and that wouldn't flag anything on YouTube or any other service. So those are strictly mine, and that kind of helps out that way. So if you know any beat makers, work something out, and that's probably the easiest way to get an awesome beat, intro, outro, and collaborate with people. And that's even working with the music industry, which I have for the last 3 years. Build relationships, and that's probably one of the easiest way to support independent artists if they have a music, is by utilizing it and constantly promoting them on every single show you make. And that's what I did with mine, as my producer for my music actually made the beat for my intro and outro, which I'm going to use for one of my tracks sometime when I have time. But I was listening to Cinematic speaking. Yeah, man, that, like, props for your show. I'm going to have to subscribe and on every single network I have, because that sounds amazing. Kind of what I do is I have lots of artists on my show, and the only way they get on the show is obviously knowing what they have to submit. And I play a lot of music. Like, half my shows are playing independent artists, but usually their management team or their PR company send me their EPKs with the MP3s, all permissions there, so I don't have to worry too much about that. So they know who they're dealing with, and the ones I deal with right now have been working for quite a while with. And even the super, super independent artists, they verbally and on writing have to agree to what's going on. They're coming on the show, promote music, and they're submitting music to play. It's not, you know, I'm not having, you know, artists come off the radio on my show, so I'm not infringing on anything that way. From my point of view, for what my show does, is mostly independent artists, so we're using that music to grow, and using the podcasting medium to grow their audience, their base, and so that kind of, they know what they're getting themselves into. So they all acknowledge that. I haven't had any issues, except for a few claims on YouTube here and there from like CD Baby and stuff. But besides that, so far very clear for the past 2 years playing music on my show, and it's been good, but it's still an experience. You have to know what you can or can't do with that, and how you can utilize it for your own show, and just sticking to the basics and don't use it for your own gains, basically.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I forgot to, I might have said it, but if you reach out to the artists, I mean, the worst thing they can say is no. So don't be afraid to ask. I mean, you're obviously not going to call up the Rolling Stones or Metallica and say, hey, can, you know, we play one of your songs on the show? But if you hear something interesting, or, you know, there's an independent artist that you like, you know, reach out to them and say, hey, would you mind if I play your song on the show? I will, you know, plug your website, I'll plug this, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, musicians really love promotion. And on top of that, musicians want to sell records. And so by having, you know, music on a podcast, and if you give them credit, someone's going to hear that and go, hey, you know what, I like that, where can I go buy it? I mean, nobody really is listening to a podcast episode and skipping to the 20-minute mark and saying, all right, I like this song, and I'll listen to it here on this podcast, right? They're going to either go find it on streaming, or they're going to actually buy the song. And that's the whole point of my show, and that's the reason why I started my show back in 1996. I needed to promote this genre of film music, and there weren't many radio shows about the topic out there, but the whole point was to promote it and have the record labels or help them sell records. And over the past 25 years, I've talked to all the record labels that I deal with, and I know that they are getting help from my show. And some of the record labels that I did deal with were independents. And after I'd played a score on the program, they said all of a sudden they got, you know, let's say 10 extra sales because of it. So that's the key. You know, if you can help an artist, then do it. Reach out and see if you can get the permission and play that music on your show.
Oh, 100%. And what I do with mine is I put them on a Spotify playlist. And you know those Spotify playlists, they get like fractions of a penny. But if you, I promote my playlist constantly, and I keep adding the guests. And over time, those plays accumulate. So once they realize that that's an option and it's a constant in rotation that people go to and play music, that it keeps getting updated. And it that eventually adds up. And once you explain that, all the independent labels love that stuff.
Fantastic. I have a friend in the room. His name, his show is called Neon Shadows. And this guy, he can tell us the numbers on what people make when they make music and stuff. He also does a lot of things like that. How's it going, Neon Shadows?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
I remember being in the space with you, and you were telling me the breakdown of the numbers, what people get.
Yeah, we were all, like, discussing it. It was me and a couple other people, but they have their stats handy. I do not. But it's pretty abysmal, I'll put it that way, in terms of, like, for instance, a licensed artist under Spotify, you know, like, their plays... The compensation for it is extremely disheartening. and it's something like, I think Apple and Spotify paid people the least, and it was like really messed up. That was the big takeaway from our conversation.
Now tell everybody what you do and why. Tell everybody about your podcast and what you do.
So Neon Shadows, a noir tale, is a noir audio drama. It basically follows a detective as he gets into a case that's not so routine and ends up bumping into like a serial killer on his way to solving a crime. So it picks up from there. There's also fantasy elements, so it's not just like a gritty noir audio drama. There's also fantasy elements that trickle in. It's a really slow approach when it comes to the fantasy aspect, but definitely picks up a lot in season two. But it's our first audio fiction as a studio, so really having fun doing it. It'll be a year in like a couple weeks. So
tell everybody what you do. You don't just produce the show, you do every single individual sound in the show.
Yeah, I write, I produce, I direct, and all that stuff. But I feel like that's probably a lot of us.
Not me.
low budget. So you got to do, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself, because you can't pay someone else what they deserve to do it. So especially when it comes to editing, that's pretty brutal. with an audio drama. With a talk show, it's kind of nice because it's like, it's almost about double what it takes to record it if you edit it thoroughly, you know. But with the audio drama, it's a whole lot more intensive. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty difficult, like either creating the follies myself or sourcing the sounds, trying to find like the best libraries available for the cheapest or free license if possible. Same thing with music. I would love to work with more artists that make kind of like jazzier music, but I'm finding it really difficult to find those people, so I just have to take royalty free stuff and stuff that's just they just want to be mentioned or, you know, what have you. So I've basically been dealing with free license when it comes to that stuff. When it comes to YouTube, hilariously, YouTube and Facebook dings me for the licensure on music, because even when I'm using my own licensed music, because I wrote and produced the theme song and a lot of the music that we use for transitions and the intro, the outro, and a couple of the feature songs that are in the show. And it's hilarious because Facebook won't let me post my podcast up because it's using licensed music, but it's the music that I license that is owned by me. So it's pretty confusing.
So how do you get YouTube to listen?
You don't. That's kind of the thing, is like you kind of hit a wall where they don't. I mean, like YouTube eventually may give up depending on what it is. If you're small potatoes, they might just give up, which they did in my case. But what they didn't give up on was a track that a friend of mine actually made that he licensed under his name. We can't get anybody to listen to the fact that he gave it to me to use. And I get dinged for that. And it got to the point where I used the beta feature on YouTube to just kind of go around the talking and somehow phase out that backtrack, which is pretty impressive that they have that software. But at the same time, it's super annoying. And because it's like once you hit a certain wall, it's like you lose the human aspect and there's no one to talk to and there's no one who cares. That's for sure. Like Facebook doesn't even give you an option to what's the right word, to like rebuttal at all. They're just like, no, not happening. Whereas YouTube is just like, you know, do you say that this doesn't have anything? And you're like, yeah, it doesn't have anything. And they're like, okay, well, it still does. Do you want to escalate? And then when you get to a certain point, it just either doesn't respond, or if it's from a big studio, they're like, do you want to sue them or do you want them to sue you?
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Now I want to kind of open up the discussion for everybody to talk. I kind of want to like throw things around. We have some fantastic speakers. We got a couple of listeners in here. Do you guys have any like thoughts about what you guys want to do with music in your podcast, or, you know, other pitfalls? Do we have any questions?
It's Brandon. I'm back. I'm sorry about the last time I was speaking.
Dude, Brandon, it was my fault. My Twitter space is glitched.
Okay, because I was also getting phone calls at the same time. So I wasn't able to comment on the last subject matter that much. But on this one, I'm an amateur podcaster, my friends and I. And I do a lot of research. In Philly, there are a lot of musicians. I knew a couple of them, and I've seen their pitfalls when it comes to even guys just, you know, doing mixtapes and getting in trouble. Even if it's just a mixtape, it's like so much litigation and stuff that they get tied up in, especially if they're trying to make money off of it. So if you're like, I see that when you're making money off of something, you have to be really, really, really careful. And that's what I've been, you know, doing. So for me, what I've done is I'm subscribed to I don't know if anybody knows it, but a site called Soundstripe. And what Soundstripe is you clearly, you know, you pay a fee monthly or yearly, whatever it may be.
And what you do then is that you click on a song or a sound effect that you like by a particular artist. And then there's this button at the end which says license. So in my podcast, I just changed the intro for season two, but the intro and the outro music for season one, they were from Soundstripe. And they were, I guess I got permission to use them. I really don't know how it works. So if someone could explain it to me so I don't fall in any kind of trap. Or something like that. I mean, we're not huge. I don't think we'll ever be huge, but we dream big. But if I could get some clarity as to, you know, I'm paying for a service, and this service says license. It calls Soundstripe.com. They're recommended by Buzzsprout and all this other stuff and all these other sites. And you can license music and sound effects from them. I think I'm safe. But if anybody had any suggestions, that would be awesome.
I've never used that service before. I could see problems maybe further down the line when you're not paying for the service, that it could maybe come back and bite you. I'm not sure. Chewy or anybody else might be able to jump in on this.
I think as far as that goes, basically, if you're paying for a licensing fee, I believe the way that works is the artists upload their sound bites or their songs into that server, and from the fees that the users pay on a yearly or monthly basis, whatever the case may be, the artists get some sort of compensation from that. As far as for each person that licenses their sound file, they get a percentage or whatever the scale maybe for that. That's the model that I believe is the one that was not on that website, but in some other place that I heard about. I don't know if it's the same thing for that one though.
Yeah, they've basically worked out a deal with whomever they are working with, whether it's a label or an artist. The answer to your question about when you quit the service, any song that you download, you cannot use in a new show. But if you have already licensed the song and you've inserted it into a program, and then let's say 2 months down the road, you want to stop paying for Soundstripe, the music that is in those episodes is still licensed.
Thank you, because what they do is they do ask you, like, when you hit the license button, like, to license it, they you have to fill out, like, what it's going to be used for. So whether it's a podcast and the name of the podcast or whatever you're using it for. So that makes sense that if I were to stop paying for Soundstripe, I couldn't use that music in a new podcast because I already used it in an old one. So that makes sense. Thank you.
And just make sure that you're holding on to any and all documentation that you get. I think, I'm not sure whether it works with this company, but some of the other companies that I work with, I'm a video editor, so I license music all the time. Usually there's a kind of a PDF with the license and everything that you need to know about that music and its use. So even if you quit, don't get rid of any of that legalese.
Wow, good question. And these are things that us rookie podcasters, we have no idea sometimes, especially when it comes to music, that it's kind of touch and go. We're kind of scared to use it, but then we hear this awesome song and we're like, you know, that would fit perfectly in our podcast. But you hear so much misinformation, like, oh, don't play more than 15 seconds of a song in your podcast and you'll be fine. Nobody wants to go through lawyer fees. Nobody wants to, you know, incur the wrath of a media giant, you know, those kind of things. And it's really nice to be able to have this small discussion where we all can just sit around and talk to people who have been through this and who know things about it.
I got a comment about that real quick. I don't know if anybody else hosts their podcast on Anchor, we do, and we got an email a couple months ago maybe that they were beta launching a service because I believe Spotify now owns Anchor or vice versa. I'm not sure who owns who, but they're somehow associated. And that email, the essence of that message was that they were gonna allow people to play songs on their episodes, but that would make it a Spotify exclusive, so you wouldn't be able to distribute your podcast to any other place but Spotify. So you could get away with playing, let's say for example you have somebody mentioned a music review podcast or something like that, where you could be like, oh, today we're going to talk about, you know, this album by Metallica or whatever, and if the song is on Spotify, you could play the song in full, not just a clip, like the actual full song, and then go back and make your commentary. Oh, you know, the guitar sounds on this song is awesome, whatever, or the vocals sound great. And you wouldn't be penalized, but the downside to that is that you would only be able to transmit or broadcast your podcast on Spotify, no other place. I don't know if anybody else heard about that.
Yeah, it's a weird platform because you are not really inserting music into your show as per what you would do normally. Like, you're not delivering a file with and the songs inserted into it. What you're essentially doing is you are going to be talking about a track, and then you select a track from Spotify's library, and then what it does is it puts that song below your voice track. So let's say you do a 2.5 minute preamble on, I don't know, Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, and then you pick that song, it'll play the song, but it plays it as a separate track within their app. And then you can come back with another audio file and then say, you know, that was Guns N' Roses and blah, 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 and then move on to your next song. So it's a completely different process about how you create your podcast. But if you do want to start using music, then this is something that they do offer. But again, it is Spotify exclusive. And the other thing is that if you have somebody who's on the free tier listening, they will only hear 30-second samples and not the entire song.
Very interesting, yeah. Oh, welcome, Chris. Chris, we're talking about music and podcasting. So if you have any questions or any input, we're trying to get everybody here to kind of talk about this discussion. And anybody else that's listening down below, you guys are more than welcome to jump in if you want.
Hi, everyone. Hoping I can ask a quick question. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Marcelo. I'm in Canada, and I launched a small little label for selling loops and samples and virtual instruments, audio tools for music composers and producers, etc. But I also did a podcast for the label, and I just started. I have 13 episodes in, but I started interviewing a little bit in advance, and there's an episode around 20 something where an artist pulled out a guitar and started singing, and was really cool, and it was a really cool moment. So far the episodes only have a theme intro music that I wrote. And I wrote specifically trying to specifically avoid any problems with licensing. I haven't gotten any notices regarding that because it's completely my creation from scratch. But I'm worried that my first question is, I'm worried about that episode in the future in terms of somebody playing a song that goes on for a little bit more than 15 seconds. And the other part of it, another second question, if it's okay. I also, in the little label for El Luchador Audio, I have a music library. As a composer, I put together all my tracks and did so. On the other side of the coin, are there any format? What do you call them? A template, I guess, for licensing tracks that I could mold into my specs and. Is there any recommendations on how to do that in terms of licensing a track and that it has no problems going out into the world and making anybody uncomfortable in terms of licensing and pinging and all that stuff. Super difficult, both questions, but thank you.
Well, since I'm Canadian, I should be able to help you out on this one. To answer your first question, and I might need a little bit more details, like for any song that you compose and you own all the rights to, you can play whatever you want on the show. I mean, I it's weird that someone would ding you for a song that you wrote. As for fair use and how much music you can play, and you got to look up the rules for fair use and how you're going to use music in your programs or in your videos or whatever. And it's, like I said, it's usually for music commentary. But I mean, if you're just playing a piece of music, just to play a piece of music without anything, you know, backing it, or anything that you can say, hey, you know, this is music commentary, you literally cannot play 1 second without a license. If I had a story a long time ago that the CBC played a 30-second clip, I think, from an Annie Lennox song on their, I think, Olympic coverage. And they got nailed, and nailed hard by Annie Lennox and whoever represents her, because they didn't have the full rights to play that song, which is really crazy for the CBC. And for NBA non-Canada, that's our national broadcaster. So yeah, you do have to look out for what music you're playing, what the context is, and whatnot. And if anybody does have any additional questions or whatever, you're more than welcome to DM me. And again, I'm going to preface this, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know all of it, but I've done a lot of research on this, and I think I know a little bit about this topic. As for the second point, and for you getting a license to play music on the program, and I'm not sure whether you are on your program, and I'm not sure where you were here earlier when I said that I contacted all of the copyright people here in Canada, and all of them except one said they didn't have a license for podcasts, so they weren't going to charge me any money. The only copyright association was SOCAN that asked me to fill out one of their tariffs. And the tariff form that you're going to look for is T22F. You can find that on SOCAN's website. And if you need help in calculating how much music you're using based on what you make on the show and blah, 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 I mean, usually the fees are very low. My fee is $125 a year to play SOCAN's repertoire, which is pretty much almost everything. Music-wise here in Canada, because most artists are represented through SOCAN. But again, as I said, I went through all the other copyright associations here and asked them whether they have a license for podcasting. So that is something that if you're looking to play music on your show, especially if you're Canadian, and again, this doesn't cover you for the entire world. And that's where I'm kind of like, I'm treading lightly here. And if anybody in the United States wants to take down my show or whatever, then they probably have the right to do it. But right now I am legally licensed here in Canada to play music on my program. And SOCAN is the group that you want to talk to. And I highly recommend you email them. That's exactly what I did. I was terrified. I wrote a whole Facebook post on it last year, how like, this is going to change my show. It might end it, because I didn't know what the fees were going to be. I thought it was going to be in the thousands of dollars. And when they came back and said, hey, fill this out and send us $125 a year, you can play whatever you want.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, in the show I'm doing now, it's all interview, and then I don't play any music except for my intro. But as I mentioned, one of the artists I was interviewing pulled out his guitar and started jamming and singing his song that I guess I have to ask for his permission. But it's like a live recording in that moment. So I don't know what that entails in terms of a master and you know what I mean, like it was a live performance inside the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Which yeah, is I really mean, were you cool. were you broadcasting live?
No, okay, I still haven't recorded. I'm still dreading how to deal with that one when it comes up, because everything
so when that happens, uh-huh. And if it's his own song, just ask them, go, hey, no, you just played that song. Do you mind if I, you know, reproduce it here on the podcast? And, you know, it, and if, and then ask him, like, is there any other loopholes I need to jump through to make sure I have the rights for it? And if he's like, no, I own this song completely, then you are fine. Again, get it in writing if you can. And I mean, I don't know if anybody is familiar with Rick Beato's YouTube channel. It's he does a lot of, you know, music theory, and he plays, you know, top 10 songs and this and that. And he only gets nailed by one, I think, label or a few bands. But besides that, you know, the YouTube algorithm kicks in and they'll monetize his YouTube video because he makes nothing on them. But, you know, he rarely has any problems. And if he does, then, I mean, of course, he you know, kicks up a stink about it. And he does. And that's, I think that's fair. Especially with, you know, he's so well known in the industry. So, but yeah, you really have to kind of look out for yourself. And again, it doesn't hurt to ask. And that's where I was, again, scared to death last year. And I asked and I'm like, oh my God, $125? That's it? And so I was kind of shocked. And now I'm doing what I normally do, but I'm under license. So, you know, that's the best thing to do. Talk to people, email people, talk to the labels, tell them exactly what you're doing and what you do and why you're doing it. And 9 times out of 10, they will come back and say, yeah, no problem, and do it. Or they might ask for money, but then you're going to be helping revolutionize podcasting, because I don't know how many other podcasts have gone out of their way, like Cloverville and myself, to call up these copyright licensing agencies and say, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. What can I do to pay? And it really feels good that I'm now doing it somewhat legal here in Canada. And again, I have great relationships with all the record labels that I've been dealing with for 25 years. So establish those relationships. That's super important. And just keep talking and keep asking. And look out for and do your research. It's out there. Again, the Cloverville guy, he's in the United States. He's in Colorado. So anybody in the U.S. here, he is able to license his podcast and play music, and he's made a business out of it, and he's been doing it ever since 2004.
Thank you so much. Really super helpful. Can Spotify know that there's not a dialogue going on and there's music, and then for some reason drops that episode? How's that algorithm in that sense?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I've been doing, this show has been as a podcast for, since 2016. And I have yet to have an issue with Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I mean, I'm not a big creator, but I get pretty good numbers. I'm in and around 100,000 downloads a year. But again, I've established relationships, and if anybody does take it down, I'm sure I can talk to somebody and try to get that put back up. But if not, again, I've only had one show, and it was a Bollywood show, and someone said, the RIAA actually wrote us an email and said, you've got to get that episode down. And we did, and that's it. We didn't hear from them again. So I'm not sure how the algorithms work with Spotify. YouTube and Facebook is insane. But another thing is that if you want to try live, you know, music shows, Twitch is kind of interesting. I listen to a guy called Vinyl Junkies. He does a show every day. Sometimes he does two shows a day, and the shows run 3 to 4 hours each, and he plays music from his record collection. And he's only had issues with two record labels, and they're very, very small. But the other times he's on Twitch live, he never gets shut down. He's done 550 straight shows. He has almost 700 patrons. He gets donations all the time. He's making a business out of it. It's a living. He doesn't do anything else. And he's playing Rolling Stones and Metallica and all the big hitters during his live program. Now, the archived shows then get hit. They will go through and they'll silence certain aspects of his program, and that's if, you know, Universal or Warner Brothers or whoever gets in, and they will automatically silence his archive. But during his live program, he hasn't been shut down once on Twitch.
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about Twitch. Coming from Twitch as a broadcaster for 6.5 years, Hi, my name is Chris. Sitting in the background listening. How's everybody doing today? On Twitch, the thing that they recommend, and this is coming directly from upper management at Twitch, there's some free platforms out there, such as something called Pretzel. There's also some different programs, like YouTube offers an array of free music. Basically, you can and will get hit with a DCMA takedown request on Twitch. They've changed their algorithms. It goes down to the artist or the person who owns that piece of music having to put the DCMA request in. Now, you're 100% correct. When you have a live broadcast, it's very rare that they'll ever take it down directly from your broadcast. And there's a reason for that. One, they don't usually monitor the ingest servers for audio. Sorry. The DCMA usually hits for the fact that the music is recorded in a format that can be played back later. So that's why the VODs typically get muted first. And then secondly, if they don't get muted and an artist can find their music, they generally request that entire video gets struck down. You get three strikes. I think that your friend, whoever's streaming on Twitch, just got extremely lucky, perhaps, and maybe found a niche where they can get away with it. But I would warn you against that. I know someone who had over 100,000 followers on Twitch who got subsequent warnings, two of them, in fact, and is now basically sitting on a third strike. If they ever play any type of music or do anything against the terms of service, they have a risk of losing their entire channel permanently. Do nothing more than playing music. So I'd strongly advise against it for Twitch, but we are fighting with lawyers in the Twitch world and in other areas of trying to find a way to make audio music available through a license. And like I said, the best option right now, though, with Twitch is Pretzel. Plenty of options, plenty of free options out there. But if you're trying to do like a show on music, I don't know if I would go on the Twitch route. But that's just my opinion, at least. But nice to meet you guys. Hanging out here in the background.
Yeah, thanks for that, Chris. Yeah, I'm not sure how Vinyl Junkies gets away with it. But, I mean, you're right. There's other shows that have been taken down. And I don't know how many strikes he has, but he does have, I mean, as a, you know, 3.3k followers, he gets about 50 listeners a program. That's probably it. And like I said, the only problems that he is having with are two labels that probably go through and you know, will mute their music after the show is finished. So yeah, and that's it. Small fry. He's willing to pay. He keeps saying it on Twitter. He's like, I'm willing to pay whatever license you want. He's even tried to call the label, and they will not flinch at all. He's based in Canada. Yeah, he's in Montreal.
Yeah, so while you have the commission in Canada where you just pay a couple $100 based upon your size and you can get a license, we do have something similar for small broadcasters in America as well. I'm not sure the name of it, but I know a buddy of mine who purchased his license and he continues to pay. And I think it's along the same route, you know, look at the number of people that you're serving. But Twitch really does not recognize those services, so because they're like a worldwide platform. So while you may have a license in Canada, your videos and VODs are going to be worldwide. And like I said, it'd be nice if they can regionally make it. So like, hey, if I have a license in Canada and it's broadcast to somebody in Canada, he should be able to listen to the VOD without a problem. But that hasn't come yet. But they're working on it. But, you know, I could feel the pain for anybody who wants to delve into that type of medium. Working around that type of thing. If you're just worried about live broadcast, don't worry about it. If you're a small fry on Twitch, generally speaking, until someone comes and says something, usually there's a warning before they will. But if you're in the thousands of viewers per stream, believe me, they have eyes on you.
It's really interesting to see all of the different aspects of music and music and podcasts. You guys have such different parts and different knowledge. I'm really digging this conversation without really having to put my two cents into it. You know who's still sitting in the background? That's Zach. Zach, I love the new profile picture. I see you're taking Pixie's advice to heart.
Well, you know, when Pixie says something, I listen or jump or move. So I figured I would do what you said.
So do you have any questions about music or any thoughts?
My profession is radio, terrestrial radio. So the whole music and podcasting, I'm one very interested in because it is a completely different approach of what we have to do with radio. We have to pay ASCAP or BMI. The licensing fees as a radio station for the right to air certain music. And then we have to submit quarterly reports of here's what we're playing. We're not playing anything that's too weird and obscure. So this whole podcasting side, I always wondered how that works. 'Cause we can also utilize any sort of copyrighted audio, anything from movies, as long as it's not within a commercial or paid advertising. So I'm more interested with, say we're going to make a promo where I hear podcasting using the theme from Ghostbusters or Superman or whatever. What is the rules and licensing on that? Because we can use that in a promo or a contest, whatever we want to do. But if I use that in a commercial, I could get flagged because that's copyrighted. Does anybody have any insight on stuff like that? Not just a music or song.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I do something similar on my show. Like all of my my breaks, I have a bumper that will say, you know, you're listening to Cinematic Sound Radio, blah 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 blah, and I have, let's say, one of the company logos playing underneath it, and I just, and this is terrible because I'm assuming that will work under the license that I'm paying currently. For podcasting and radio, it's completely different, but I think BMI and ASCAP do get involved in podcasting as well. And I, again, talking about Coverville, I think that they deal with them directly to do essentially what you do in radio. Write down every song that you're playing, submit quarterly reports, and then he pays a yearly fee. So, I mean, as for a single use, and especially something like Ghostbusters, you might be looking at thousands of dollars. But again, it's finding who owns it, who has, you know, all the different licenses that go around with a song, and then trying to figure out how much that would be to use it. It might not be advised to use it at all. But the other thing is, you could probably try and see if you can get away with it. Again, not the advice that I would give, but it's something that I have done and seems to have gotten away with it. And I'm sure that's not helpful, but that's my experience.
Yeah, the podcast, I don't have my own podcast, as I tell Pixie every time. I jump around. I'm a professional guest. And what is it? Pain in the ass, Pixie? Is that what I'm going with now?
Oh, yeah. A podcaster's pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's what I do. So a lot of the ones that I guest on, they take the approach of they have hired either somebody to create the music and they are paying them directly and therefore they have the rights to air that, or they have found music that is free or they've purchased a license for because it's already created. But I know a lot of other podcasts that I listen to, they're using copyrighted material because it's about a theme or a show or they work it in. So I was always just curious about that, of whether they gamble on the side of, all right, well, we're going to use it till someone catches us. And usually, especially when you're small, as you guys have said, they hit you with a warning first because they see that you're not really, you don't have a ton of people following you. They look at your reach and go, all right, well, stop that. And they slap your hand. And then the idea is that you stop. But it's nothing that I've dealt with personally. It was just more curiosity, so thank you.
Yeah, it is a gamble. That's exactly the perfect word for this. And so, like, my recommendation would be that if anybody, you know, just wants to use a piece of music for an intro, or just for, you know, a bed while they're introducing the show, or for the end of a program, yeah, get somebody to write a piece of music for you, get that permission, and then that's yours. Or the other route would be, you know, find a royalty-free library, and you can find songs rather cheaply for maybe 40, 45 bucks in Vado. Artlist is a little bit more expensive, but you can find music that they will give you the full-out license for, and you can use it forever. You know, as for music commentary, you know, within my niche genre of soundtracks, there are three big shows that do really well. It's the Soundtrack Show, Score the Podcast, and Soundtracking. And I don't know what type of deals they've worked out, even if they or if they have, but they all play copyrighted soundtrack music. And especially with the Soundtrack Show, he does it because he's doing a music commentary program. So anytime he's talking about, let's say, you know, the Star Wars main theme and how it's structured and the notes that are being used, he then will play the piece of music, or at times he will then play portions of the movie so that you can hear the music in context. And, you know, he's affiliated with iHeartRadio, but I don't know whether they have certain licensing, but, you know, and Soundtracking, is they're out in the UK, but they get some big hosts and they play music. And, you know, Score the Podcast was a huge documentary a couple of years ago. And then they translated that into a podcast, but they have some, you know, former heads of music for like 20th Century Fox, Robert Kraft, and maybe he's working out deals. So, I mean, the problem is it's not transparent. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to do here, is to let you know what I'm doing. And again, I hate to repeat myself, but I highly recommend everybody who wants to use copyrighted music, check out Coverville and look up the articles and interviews that he's done and the process that he went through in order to make sure that he's fully licensed and everything that he plays on the program is legit. But he's also making a business out of it. He quit his job and this is what he does full time. So, like I said, it is possible, but I just wish more podcasts that do play music and maybe have a deal would talk about it more often, because there's not a lot of information out there. And I think that's what scares podcasters the most, because all they keep hearing is don't use music, don't use music, don't. And I really think that if you try hard enough and do your research and talk to people, you can use music.
I mean, there's plenty of music out there. Just, I guess, touching back on a couple of different topics of kind of just trying to bring up some bullet points of knowledge or information. So, I mean, there's like six different types of music license that exist, but generally for commercial licenses, and dependent upon how you're going to use them. The one that you're talking about for podcasts, the one that really means the most, is called a in perpetuity license, or basically it's something that could be used forever. Generally, when you get a license for a music, you know, the thing that you need to do is reach out to who owns the music. I guess the first thing there to keep in mind is generally an artist that plays music or a singer does not necessarily always own the rights to that music. So a lot of these different organizations that are owners of the music, the record labels and things like that, you can actually contact them directly. If you have, say, like a hit song that you're trying to use, and depending upon what you're trying to use it for, generally speaking, it's not going to be expensive, but you also got to be upfront, honest about exactly what you're going to do. You're going to sign a legal contract. And I would say anything you start talking about the word legal, I advise you to get a lawyer involved. And if you're running your business, otherwise you're susceptible to who knows what, especially when it comes to music. The other thing is the term fair use. So just thinking about what that is, and then we also hear that thrown around like, well, you know, if I use only 15 seconds, does that make me legal? Well, yes and no. So the no comes from the fact of fair use has to be for one of these things. One, either you're a nonprofit, and probably not if you're a podcast, you're telling news you're providing some type of education or for parity purposes, generally that's what's considered fair use. Usually, you know, you want to keep it somewhere like 15, 30 seconds. But as long as you're not basically providing anything more than like a running commentary or a news segment, generally it's considered to be okay and fair use. But it's very murky and a very weird little area. Because like I said, if you're putting it for a podcast, it's going to be recorded. It's going to be played in perpetuity, whenever I say that wrong. But you know what I mean? Over and over and over again. So somebody could come back and say, hey, you know, I really don't think you should be using our music. Especially when it comes to things like your intro, say, for example, like Ghostbusters, if you want to use the Ghostbusters theme, I would think that that's going to be something where you're using it for a commercial purpose. If you may not be generating money when you first start your podcast and using their theme song, but then later on, when you start taking ad income and you start generating money, somebody might say, you know, I own the rights to that particular piece of music. I'm just using the Ghostbusters thing because I heard it earlier. But then is where you really want to say, hey, you know, it's very better to just get an original piece of music. You go out on Fiverr. There's people creating music all the time. Some of these kids nowadays, I mean, they're amazing. They could throw a beat together in 2 minutes and it's perfectly legal and you can use it. It's something that's been created for you. You can run loops, whatever. You have this music. I mean, it's not going to cost you very much. It's much more of a better sound investment to have something original than borrow for something, unless that's what your content of your show is. In that case, look at your audience and say, hey, okay, I'm up to 1,000 listeners a week. It's probably about time you should really be contacting a lawyer. And there's lawyers specifically working in copyright law that'll do consults. And because they know, obviously, smaller businesses aren't going to be like spitting out money. So they work with you. They have general information. They'll point you in the right direction. But before you go down that road of let me do a podcast or let me start a business with copyrighting music, might be a good idea to just explore it a little bit and actually talk to someone who honestly knows what they're talking about. So that's my two cents. I love this because, like I said, on Twitch, we hear this stuff all the time. And I always have people who are like, I'm just going to play Spotify in the background. And it's like, you know, what doesn't matter because it's Spotify. And I try to explain to them. It's like, you don't really understand what you're doing is you're basically taking music that was played over the air. They played a license for it and you're getting the benefit of that without paying anybody for it. So, you know, realistically, you're stealing that content and using it for your own purposes, whether or not you gain money or someone sends you a donation. The minute you receive money and, you know, you're no longer a nonprofit, you start getting into a murky water. And that's what the problem with Twitch. You know, they've got so many people on their platform, millions and millions of people basically playing games. But, you know, they're the ones who are getting attacked now because of all these different streamers who are using this content they shouldn't use. They're coming after and suing Twitch, which in Twitch is saying, hey, if we want to keep compliant, we don't want to be sued by these major record labels. We have to put a system in place that's going to help us to help you. And, you know, it's easier to, I guess, do the right thing from the get-go. I don't know if anybody else wants to add in, but give it back to Pixie. She's sitting back over there kicking back, you know.
No, this is such a great conversation because you'll jump into like a Facebook podcast group and everybody's giving out this terrible information and there's not a clear, concise, you know, rules for us podcasters. And if we don't have these kind of discussions where we ask these what we feel is dumb questions, they're not dumb questions because not everybody knows what the side of music is. We're not lawyers, so we don't know where to go, who to approach, unless we ask these honest questions. And you know, Chris, you're such a valuable person in this discussion. Thank you for being here. All of you guys, Chewy, Neon, Cinematic Sound Studio, Zach, I'm going to mispronounce your name, Elucha, I added you as a friend. You know, we have Harold in here who's just listening in. So Chewy, since you are the one who is recording the podcast, this episode for us, do you want to give us any final thoughts? Do you have any final questions?
Well, not really. I mean, on my end, some of you guys spoke about things that I had never even thought about, to be honest, as far as, I mean, I'm aware of things like licensing, for example, in a different context, because I've played in bands and bars, and I know people that own bars, and I know they have to pay a license, on a yearly basis. So if you own a bar and you're going to have a live band playing cover songs, you got to pay somebody for that. You can't just open up a bar and say, hey, but I'm going to have a live band. They're going to be playing 70s, 80s, 90s music, whatever. The people that own the rights to those songs are going to come knocking at your door if you're not paying them. So that's what I knew as far as licensing. And of course, when it comes to YouTubing, or I'm not really familiar with Twitch at all, but I know that it's a problem. Somebody mentioned Rick Beato earlier. He's a great music producer, and he analyzes songs and he breaks it down like part by part. And as a musician, that's really valuable, but he's always getting copyright strikes and he's always getting upset. He's always like throwing rants in the air like, man, you know, these labels are dumb and these artists are so like whatever because they're not letting me play their music that people have not heard in like 20, 30 years and so on and so forth. But it's been really cool listening to the insights of people that have all these experiences and that have gone through the loopholes and done all the research because, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I make my own music precisely to avoid having to jump through all those loopholes. So, yeah, I mean, it's been awesome having this conversation with everyone, and yeah, it's been fun.
Amazing. Does anybody else have any questions or any thoughts about... Oh, Marcelo, I'm going to add him as a speaker. He actually is a composer. So, hello, how's it going?
Hello, is that me?
That's you. Oh. What's your name for us? I'm terrible.
It's Marcelo. I also have a Luchador audio account. So that's me. It's just me without the mask.
Well, welcome. We're kind of wrapping up this podcast space where we're talking about music in podcasting. A lot of people don't know the ins and outs of adding music. What are your thoughts about adding music to podcasts?
Oh yeah, I was here, but with the Luchador account. So I've been here a while. Yeah. I asked the question, and it was wonderfully
responded.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to drop in with a face instead of a logo. I just wanted to ask a cool question that came up in my mind. As a composer, what's the room's thought on writing music for intros and outros and in that regard, do you think it's actually a good business to get into, like try to sell original compositions to podcasters, or is it something? Yeah. Or you guys see is that as a limited space in terms of it being?
Do it. I would say Fiverr is a good place to start. Put yourself out there. There's probably about 1,000 different people doing already, but if you've already got an existing catalog of stuff and yeah. You feel confident about doing it, start there. That gets you at least some of the flavor. Somebody might send you a job and you can feel it out. But I think there's a big amount of podcasts out there who need it. And don't even stop there. Like go and find podcasts, go on Amazon or whatever, go on to Spotify, I'm sorry, pull up some podcasts. They don't have any music, they don't have any intros. Offer them like 5 seconds, do some little intro, do like a, hey, like something cool with their name or something, send it to them. What's the worst that happened? You spent 5 seconds sending somebody for free that you end up might turning into a customer, right?
Because after writing for 20 years for film and television animation, like putting together a really cool intro track in the style of the podcast is a half a day thing. Like you spend maybe 3 hours or something like customizing a really cool track for the type of show, and they get an original track, and that's just a little cool quick transaction that I don't know. It might be something that a lot of people are already doing, but it's interesting to get the take on if it's a viable thing.
I mean, concept for you, create 10 intro songs, right? Okay, doesn't have to have words or anything, just create the intros, put those together, and make it so you get like 5 or 10 seconds of the intro, right? And say, here's a preview. If you like one of these, I mean, you already have them mastered, right? So all you need to do at that point is just finalize them. You know, that's a great idea. To more than one.
Awesome. That's a great idea, yeah. And then maybe, like, put a YouTube up of, like, intros, and if you like one of these, let me know, and I'll send you the exclusive rights for it or something.
Well, I mean, it's just in general, if you put something out there, someone's going to take it, you know? But I'm saying, like, if you have a catalog, it's just say you work on 10 different pieces, at least if you have some generic intros that you've got, you know, when you start working with a client, you can also send that potential client that file, say like a Google Drive or something, and say, hey, you know, I've got some music I've already worked on. If you just want to get a flavor of what I'm capable of, here's some examples that I've created for different things, whether or not they're true or live or whatever. But then, you know, when you do that, that basically it automatically gives you some legitimacy. And like I said, your history from what I see in your profile already says that you've got the capability to do it. I don't think you need to sell yourself much more on that. But if you're thinking about this as another business venture, man, yeah, sure. I would say do it, man. It sounds like a great opportunity for you.
Nice. Thank you.
There are millions of podcasts. There are millions of podcasters. There's such a wealth of people beginning podcasts, and that this discussion needs to happen. If that's something you're interested in, I'm sure that there are people who need music, that this market is not saturated at all. Most people are using like the YouTube. They're having somebody create stuff. We in my main show, we use free music. So we just credit the person who made the song in every single episode. And my co-host, he loves to search for music. So with our second podcast, I decided that I wanted something a little bit more unique for that podcast. And Chewy was actually the one, Myth Behind the Legends, to create us something that was that gave us a staple for when we do produce that show, that we're going to have something that you instantly know what you're listening to because of the intro music. And it's very important. Season 3 of my show, my original show, we're going to get more music. So
yeah, that's a cool thing. Like what you said, the trade, yeah, the customized part of it makes it unique. And that's really cool to have on your show.
People love custom, unique things that are tailored just to them. So you've got something you're able to do. I say go for it.
Thank you. Thank you for all the suggestions and comments.
And just to give you just a highlight of what we just seen, right? So if I go on Fiverr right now, I look up the word podcast intro, 624 different providers, and it starts as low as $10, and I see some upwards of $150. So you set your price accordingly based upon your experience. Worst case scenario, nobody contacts you. Best case scenario is you started a new line of business and a new little way of making some income.
Only 600? That number sounds low. That sounds like that there is a huge market for people looking for podcast intros. Okay, Chewy, wrap this all up for us. Give us a nice little bow and take us out of the show.
Well, thanks everybody for joining this very educational music and podcasting conversation. It's been really enlightening. It's been really amazing having the privilege to have these great conversations with amazing content creators of different kinds. We got podcasters, we got radio hosts, we got Twitch expertise people. So yeah, thanks everybody for jumping in and joining us, and it's been a pleasure, and maybe we can all get together again in the future and have another conversation on music topics, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that we can talk about.
Exactly. You never know what we're going to record. I think that this is one of those topics for podcasters that we need to continue to have the discussion. So I want to thank all of you guys for joining me, having this discussion with me, asking a whole bunch of questions. This has been very enlightening as somebody who does not make music. Thank you guys. And hopefully you'll join me in my next podcast, Twitter Space, My name is Pixie. I'm the hostess of Next on Stage One, and I hope to see you soon. Thanks, guys.